Operator, give me information. Information. Give me long distance. Long distance. Operator.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord.
It is to Madame Justice that I dedicate this concerto in honor of the holiday she seems to have taken from these parts, and in recognition of the impostor that stands in her stead. Tell me, do you know what day it is, Evie?
November the 4th.
Not anymore. Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. First, the overture. Yes. Yes, the strings. Listen carefully, can you hear it? Now the brass.
I can hear it.
Wait! Here comes the crescendo!
practiced this for hours, gone round and round, and now I think that I've got it all down. And as I say it louder, love how it sounds, 'cause I'm not taking the easy way out, not wrapping this. It's no surprise I won't be here tomorrow. I can't believe that I stayed till today. Yeah, you and I will be a tough act to follow, but I know in time we'll find this was no surprise. It came out like
snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. Cold never bothered me anyway. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small.
Well, here I am. Where are you? Well, we have Michelle and Carol, and Faith was in chat. Hi, Carol. Maybe Faith turned into Carol. I don't know. I think Michelle was having some trouble with sound in chat. And there's Faith. She came back. It's one of those days, you know, it's a day of transformation. We're going to see here. We're right in the middle of the Venus transit behind the sun. This is a date that I was drawn to several weeks ago, and Jason got a pretty powerful confirmation about that. And I was just going over an email he sent me a few days ago, and I don't know if I'm going to go through it all or not. Let me just say this. He had a series of dreams, all of which either related to the basically today's date set, which is really a fifth, sixth, and seventh date set, because those are the days involved in the Venus transit behind the sun. Venus is the feminine planetoid, and it represents a disappearing. It's happening in, right in the middle of the head of the Taurus, the bull, and leave departing through the two horns, which represent between the straits, a biblical phrase, which is also what the name of Egypt means. And it represents the narrow path. So there are other things that I've seen. I do not know if I'm going to have the appetite to go into them if we are still here in the future. I do believe I know what he's pointed us to. I also know that most or all of us who are hardcore and sticking in with this thing, our whole rapture-centric experience, we have been drawn into fairly extreme circumstances in our lives, and he's frankly asked us to do things that show greater regard for his leading than the world. And that is pretty definitively why we're where we're at. And we will see what he does with it, because without a doubt, we're looking for something from him rather than any other thing. And so I think what I want to do, the other thing that Jason has in his, let me just read a portion of his email from the 2nd of June that he sent to me. Well, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and read through this. I haven't heard from Jason since then. Usually I don't over the weekend. So anyway, this is from the 2nd of June. Hi, Jerry. Hope you're doing well as can be expected. I know you don't have much of an appetite for this, and that's true, but it's not so much giving up. It's just depletion. But I wanted to send you what I received on the 29th since we discussed how I had been led to this date. Here's what I received on the 29th, four dreams. I'll preface these four dreams with the dream I had on May 27th. In this dream, I was riding a bike. I got off that bike and it was stolen. I said the bike was $6,000. I then saw a birthday cake. I spoke with the lady and she said it was her birthday. I said, my birthday is also today on March 14th, so we had the same birthday. I told her I was 41 and asked her how old she was. She said 40 to 45. I said, she can tell me it's okay. She then said 44. Anyway, so 85 days from the 14th is June 6th and 7th, lines up with 44 hours. Venus will be behind the sun. 6,000 is the number translated. His dreams on the 29th. I see a comb and a toothbrush, which reminds me of Marianne's hotel dream, where she left her comb and toothbrush and then snatched away after meeting Jim, which is another version of Jacob in Hebrew, which means seized by the heel or heel catcher, a snatching away. Marianne left on the 28th to go visit her daughter and is staying in a white hotel. By the way, Marianne, my understanding is that Marianne would return on the 5th, so she should be back now. I'm riding a bike like the dream on May 27th. This is the second dream, except this time the tires are flat, but I'm still moving. I'm riding on this. Oh, this is funny. I repaired a flat tire the other day on a bike. Except this time the tires are flat, but I'm still moving. I'm riding on the street and notice the college I'm attending is on the right. I keep going and come to a stoplight. Jimmy is in front of me, which is another James or Jacob, in the car and says that the project is due Thursday. Well, this Thursday is the 9th of June. That would fit exactly my meat cleaver dream, with the cleaver coming down between the 8th and the 9th of June on the correct days of the meat cleaver dream, Wednesday and Thursday. So this matches that. Let me go back to I'll get to this in a minute. I'm in the third dream. I'm in the college, and I just looked at while riding my bike, and I'm sitting in the back getting ready to take a final exam. It was an early class, and someone came in with blankets. I got caught in the blankets and dragged to the front. I looked at the exam briefly but didn't answer any questions, basically just discarded it. The teacher was Clarice Starling, which was Jodie Foster from the movie The Silence of the Lambs. The fourth dream was receive the number 19. In 2 Samuel 2:30, 19 of David's men were found missing. When reading this chapter, kindness is seen in the beginning and slaughter at the end. 19 in Greek means kindness, and 19 in Hebrew means slaughter. Seems to represent divine order connected with judgment. I have a pretty good understanding of these dreams. If you have any thoughts, I'd certainly appreciate anything you want to share, etc. And so my response was, okay, I'll bite. In other words, slightly reluctantly. I'm really having, by the way, some of these comments as if they are in a personal context, and nothing secret. I mean, it's relative to what's in the note. But I'm just being a little bit flippant with some of it. Look at the idea. I'm really having to exercise restraint in all of my experiences since I'm so frustrated and done with this, which is true in a sense. When God is your jailer, there is no point in starting a riot. I think the bicycle still represents the second cycle for 2 years from important May anniversaries for me and the second Elijah pattern cycle. Hence, the second 84-day period, which Michelle mentioned. Birthday of the 6,000 around June 6th, check. The bike was taken like the 6,000, poof. Your first dream, Marianne's dreams continue to lead to date sets by a day or two. She is supposed to be back on the 5th, but the date set is really the 6th from my point of view. Otherwise, check. And this has been a pattern in Marianne's scenarios that she's been anticipating. We are running, dream number two, we are running out of air like I was in a race. He had a vision of somebody in a running race and stopping just before the finish line to catch the breath and then to move over across the line. And we sort of interpreted that probably was me. When we or I come to a red light, I suspect this is when I take a break to catch my breath, riding the bike in this case. Jimmy Jacob is driving the car and says the deadline, and I'm frustrated with the driving of the car because we're not able to do that. And says the deadline is Thursday. That could be either June 2nd or June 9th. I actually think it should be June 2nd, but since we are in the chase scene in the horror movie that never ends, it could be June 9th. Okay, now I am pretty sure. This is her third dream where he's being dragged to the front of the class. And I mean this, I'm saying, first line I say is, okay, now I'm pretty sure you were me. And I'm being a little bit flippant here, but I'm also being partly serious because this is something I definitely can relate to. Anyway, she says, I was dragged to the front of the class, but I have a bad attitude now and mostly disregard the questions and clues. I am now like a resident of Missouri, show me, i.e. put up or shut up, except I won't say shut up because I don't want to disregard his leading. Speaking of his leading, it was probably his blankets and covering dragging me to the front. Clarice Starling means bright light out of the star, which I trust is a reference to my astrophysics PhD, which Jason had received that word in a previous dream. Also, Venus is the morning star and will emerge from behind the sun on the 7th of June. However, it's still possible that astrophysics is really a reference to the capabilities of the dog and the Jetsons. That's just me making a joke. Of course, the science of the lamb should relate to the taking of the church. Jody is a reference to Judaism, and Foster has a couple meanings of note. And I include a section, but and those included in those means Foster is like a foster child. I continued to note, I received the camera dream, which name means vaulted ceilings like a church. And also, the church are like foster Jews or Hebrews. In other words, they've been adopted. I don't have much to add here to the fourth dream, except that when I look up Strong's numbers, I usually find a positive connotation in the Hebrew and a negative in the Greek. This seems to be the opposite of that. They do work together. I hope you're entertained. And Then he goes, thanks for biting. I thought I had a pretty good understanding of the dreams until I read this. Has anyone? Anyway, we are running out of air for sure. A few days ago, I was really having trouble breathing, being dragged to the front of the class. It's not something I really want to do. When I was in college, I always sat in the back of the class, never wanted to be up front. Yesterday, Dan's family, well, anyway, they left a canopy at Corrine's house where Jason is. Excuse me. Sorry, had a big sneeze. And we went back and forth a little bit about the Columbo thing. Something that came to mind was the very first dream Corrine had, the national holiday. Everyone celebrated and went home. Martial law happened not long after that, and he's thinking, could that be Memorial Day? He wrote this on the 2nd of June. Depleted. And we had a couple other exchanges, but that's pretty much the substance of that. So that's really, Mama Pad had an interesting experience this morning with the Lord showed her a whole bunch of clouds and shapes and things. She wondered if I would get any particular meaning out of it. And the meaning I really get out of it is it was an encouragement. I think a lot of us are certainly between the straits right now and having some challenges above and beyond our average challenge in the walk. And at the same time, the last few days, at least some of us, I know, have had some flirts. I had one yesterday that was notable. I was walking through a showroom yesterday, and we walked in and I was with my kids, and we've been looking at some stuff, trying to help make some bigger decisions, and not so much because I'm really planning for the future at all, it's that I have no choice under current circumstances to deal with some of the immediate needs that we have. And so we walk into this showroom, and what it really is a show house, and they're playing music. And my daughter goes, and I heard the music, and it's instrumental at that moment in the song, but it was the very beginning of the song, or very near the beginning of the song. And we walk in, and my daughter noticed the music, one of them, and said, well, that's really strange music to play. I'm not sure that's going to encourage me to buy anything. And that drew my attention to it. And then one of the other daughters sort of echoed the same comments. And then they went on to another part, another area. And I stayed behind to look at a couple of particular features of something. And I realized that the song I'm listening to is 99 Red Balloons. Now, that's a song from, the 80s, and it's basically an anti-war, anti-nuclear, Cold War kind of thing. And it's a song sung by a German band, female singer in a German band. And it's, people have heard it, but it's also an odd song. It has an odd sound. It's European, if you will. But it's also an odd subject matter, and to be in a song selection in any kind of a showroom where you're trying to encourage people to buy things was just extraordinary. So but the thing is, it was what was playing, and it just started when we walked in to look. And I took it as a definite flirt because while we haven't really discussed that song in our experience very much, Jonathan Kluck has. several months ago, it was very prominent in the messages that he was receiving. And it's associated with the message he's had for a very long time that, you know, as we go up, the missiles come down. In other words, it's sort of a rapture, sudden destruction type message. That doesn't mean everything is instantaneous. I think that's how he mostly sees it. But in either case, the thing is, it's associated with our departure. And when I heard that song, I was just amazed because it's such a weird song to hear in that setting. And I definitely knew it was a flirt the way it laid out. The fact that the kids even paid attention to it and drew my attention to it. And I would have probably eventually gotten it. But the fact that they noticed it and said, that song's not going to make me want to buy anything. And they were absolutely right. It was just odd. So it's definitely sort of has an end time theme with respect to the things Clive has gotten. And it drew my attention because I know what that basically song means to him. So that was a little flirt we had. I am having to, day by day, do a series of things that sort of lay a groundwork for the future because I absolutely have no choice. I am obligated to do certain things right now. And even for the short term, I have to do certain things. And the thing is, but I'm not seeing the future right now. There was a period probably a year ago where I was beginning to understand that this thing that he's had me do, I was going to have to walk all the way through. And it was discouraging because I knew it was going to take a while. I knew it was going to be painful and difficult. I never in my imagination expected to have to go that way. And this is what he called me to do. He told me specifically to do it. And spiritually, he accomplished it a long time ago. He gave me a very strong declaration. But doing it in worldly terms, and it is a very powerful statement of separation and departure from the world, as far as I'm concerned. And I knew he was going to have me, I had a pretty strong sense he was going to have me walk the whole thing through. Well, now, I don't have the sense. He assured me there wasn't going to be anything. That's completed now. I mean, there's still some things that are fallout from that, but by and large, that's complete. And I've done that, and he assured me he wouldn't have any major tasks for me. Any other big thresholds to cross, things to declare, any of these other things. But basically, that represented the bulk of what he was going to ask me to do before he took us out of here. And now that we are at this point, I just don't have a sense. Even though I'm doing certain things, trying to make preparations for, a week and a month and arguably a year from now, I don't see me being here. I don't see any of us having to do what I'm having to lay the groundwork for. I also have that sense for, others of us. Judy's looking for a place to move right now because they've been in a very small place much longer than they intended to be. And it has its good sides and its bad sides. She's been given a very powerful urge, and she knows it's from God, to move. And she's been working on it for weeks, trying to find the right place and going through the application process and all those things. Full circle, let's bring it back. Mama Pat had this experience this morning on her dad. She's had extra challenges, and she's taken up the challenge of having her daughter living at home and that has serious medical issues and basically died more than once while she was in the hospital and brought her back. And And so the Lord gave her this strong flirt and encouragement, reminder that he's still there with her. And even though she feels herself, you know, she has been, I don't know anybody who's ever so continuously discussed the very personal interaction and relationship that she has with the Lord, and the way in which she is so connected to his consciousness, his desire, and basically just a loving relationship. And she sent a note to me, and it's clear that she was feeling a certain sort of separation or distance also. And so she received this experience today with a series of clouds just looking up on the deck that were very, sent very clear pictures and images to her that it's like a flirt. It was a presence. It's not so much perhaps there was a specific meeting. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going today or anything. But boy, he's cranking up all kinds of experiences, emotions, lack of emotion, lack of energy, challenges in front of us. So many of us are working on things that involve moving. Even Jason's mom has decided to put her house up for sale and to look for something different. And so there's really a... we're all experiencing quite a bit along those lines. And so that's kind of where we're at. Let me check back in here. I'm sort of trying to keep my head clear. Oh, there's Pat. I'll bring you on, Pat, in a second. Let's see. Okay. Faith is saying, what Columbo thing? I've had for quite a while, over the last year or two, I've had a sort of a Columbo, the detective, TV detective, was famous for sort of having conversations with people who thought they were smarter than he was. He would go all the way through the conversation and start to walk away and say that, you know, he was done. Then he'd get halfway to the door and then he'd turn around, you know, excuse me, sir, one more thing. And I was having an experience like that. And Jason had both sort of a dream recently thing about that and also in his personal experience, he was starting to have that. And we sort of tripped over that and sort of shared the experience of that. And so anyway, we were just having a common theme in our experiences about the sort of the Columbo one more thing in our personal experience. Anyway, Faith says, 99 Red Balloons, this was one of the songs of the 80s to make a point about brinksmanship and paranoia hysteria surrounding the issue of war. And this, of course, is Cold War, regarding Cold War brinksmanship. The song talks about the singer Nina, and the listener buying 99 balloons at a shop and letting them go for fun. These balloons show up on the radar as unidentified objects, and both sides scramble planes to go on full alert to counteract perceived nuclear attack, when in fact is most childlike of things, a bunch of balloons, sort of making, you know, fools of the people who are taking the defense seriously. Anyway, it's an anti-war thing. And anyway, and Faith says one hit wonder. Yeah, she was in the West, but actually I think they traveled successfully and they had other popular songs in Europe. One more thing. And so here's the thing. Back to the Columbo thing. Jason and I had been going back about this one more thing phrase. And then in a couple of days, he goes downstairs and Karina's watching an episode of Columbo. And it's hilarious. So Faith here is saying unbelievable because I have been watching some Columbo episodes on YouTube. Last night even, one about dreams. So this is how it is with us in our group. These themes, he runs these themes by, you know, one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. Well, Columbo, remember that name is going to be associated with like Columbia and, you know, District of Columbia and, you know, one more thing. Well, it could be one more thing for us. It could be we have this June 6th date set and we go just one more thing, and the next obvious date set for us is the meat cleaver dream, which is very powerful, very strong. And it does fit the June 8th and 9th calendar, so just a few more days. By the way, one other thing I should, I've mentioned this before, but the Lord 3+ years ago took me through a really intense period of study about planetary alignments and significant dates in biblical history and basically New Testament type, life of Christ type things. He gave me a particular insight and perspective on the birth of Christ and what have you. It doesn't agree with anything anybody else says, so there's no point going through all the details. But I do think, however, that what he showed me, among other things, was that I was finding dates and patterns that did line up. It was definitely God-led. I was in a zone, okay? I mean, I was absolutely in a zone, and I understood what I was looking at, and for a while, I thought it was just me being interested and sort of being a garage kid, and of course, it was me being a garage kid. I didn't realize how powerfully anointed it was until I went back and looked, because I made notes about all the different things that I saw and what I thought it meant and how it all fit together, and I really wasn't sure why I was doing it. It really did not fit into anything that I was doing otherwise, and it seemed kind of weird. But he led me through it, and I know, you know, I made a bunch of notes, and I had an absolute understanding of what I was writing and what it meant. I went back later and looked at those notes, and there were so many missing thoughts that were that I was experiencing at the time. They gave me complete clarity. It was very interesting. Anyway, what I'm trying to say today is by going through that, I could see that there was a sort of a 2 to 3 day window before or after a particular planetary alignment that would be, say, a sign in the heavens, before specific dates that were meaningful might have happened. And so, for example, the date set today is basically the 6th of June. Well, that could take you back to the 3rd, or it could take you, not coincidentally, to the 9th. And so I do think Jason was getting the clue for there, and you know, I will be so happy to get past that day, because either we will have received a translation, a wonderful blessing, or quite frankly, I'm going to sit on the side of the trail for a while, because I've got a ton of stuff going on here that is time sensitive and just simply has to be done in worldly consideration. Although he keeps telling me I don't have to do it, but the problem is he needs to put me in a position where I don't have to do it. And he may. So Faith continues to say, here's the episode called Self-Portrait. Anyway, she put it in chat. And then she says, Nina, the seeker of 99 red balloons, comes from the Hebrew Magdalena. The meaning of Magdala in Aztec mythology is the name of the first two humans, Nata and Nina. Well, that's interesting. Well, Magdalene, like Mary Magdalene, means tower. It means like a watchtower. And it's a location, but it's also a location whose name means tower. So Mary Magdalene was the prostitute that came to Jesus, is often considered the prostitute who came to Jesus. Well, the prostitute is the world, and the tower is one of the symbols of world corrupted power. Whether you look at obelisks or watchtowers on fortresses, this tower vertical symbol is absolutely a symbol of the fallen world, and it is used to represent forces and powers that are ancient. And so Mary Magdalene is a very curious case. Now, she's also saying the Aztec Niña is related to the Hebrew Magdalena, and then it says it also means girl in Spanish, not to be confused with Nina and Ina, which means baby, and is an endearing name for daughter. Actually, Nina means girl in Spanish, not Niña, not Nina. And Nina is Spanish slang word used as an affectionate term for endearment, usually from boyfriend to girlfriend, friend equivalent to sweetheart or baby in English. Well, so what's the Spanish, what's Spanish for cakes? Because then, you know, you could say Nina cakes, you'd be baby cakes, sort of a Brooklyn thing or something. Anyway, just goofing around. As you can see, I'm doing okay. There's plenty on my plate right now. But I'm also a little goofy. Let me bring Mama Pat on and we'll say hi. I'm glad you're calling. Hi, Pat.
Okay, I'm here.
Surprising.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Oh, my goodness. It's just, I mean, I was so happy to see the clouds. But I've seen this before, so it's not like, yoo-hoo, look at, you know, he just does this. It's like, okay, I'm so grateful, but it's like, it's just one, it was one thing after the other. I mean, I could hardly believe what I was seeing.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I haven't seen. And the day before, I saw two hearts. One was large, one was big, so clear in the sky that went over. I thought, oh, that's nice. That's pretty. So he knows we need these thingies. We're here for
Hell
a reason.
Yeah.
We are the most blessed generation of all. Come on, guys, we are. I'm not saying that to be proud, but, you know, he expects us to, we've come this far, he expects us to still trust and cry out to him. I mean, I cry out to him when I'm upset about stuff, and boy, he helps too. I had a problem with something tonight, and I was crying to him, and in 2 minutes, it was solved. Oh,
wow.
Boy.
Wow.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah. It was a certain person I couldn't get in touch with, and I cried because I love this person dearly, and this person just texted me. We've been texting for an hour, so I can imagine who that is, my Jesus man.
check this. Yeah, I do. Yeah, check this out. Faith replied to my little baby cakes comment. She goes, wow, Magdalenas are small sweet cakes that are rich tasting but light and fluffy. The Spanish traditionally eat them at breakfast with café con leche.
Oh, my. There you go.
The Lord is speaking. He's continuing to use us for his whatever.
Yeah.
And
No, he's there. He's there. He's going to give you little things along the way to encourage you, but he's still going to do his own thing.
It's up to the Father. I'm ready to be done with all the little things and all the flirts.
Oh, I know. I hear you. Yeah, see, you know, like I said before,
totally
Jerry, it's a different relationship with a woman, with him, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I have more of the mush and the spouse and the whatever, like a lot of the ladies do. I can name a ton of them that love him.
Yeah,
the men have a little bit, maybe a little bit different, more stoic, more strength, more God. I think God expects so much more from the guys. It's just my feeling. We're the bride. The man takes care of the woman. I'm horribly old-fashioned, but that's the way I feel. God, when he looks at me, it's like he wants to protect me and nurture me and yada, yada, but he's not going to give me the garage work, and he's not going to give me the manuscripts, and he's not going to give me the books.
No, but
not,
I mean, you
know what I'm saying?
But I do know, but there's
sorry,
another aspect.
Sorry, bro.
Of this.
Sorry.
There's another aspect to this, and
you know
I understand
what
you're saying about relationships.
Yes,
but
yes.
The other part of this, the other part of this is that we've all been through really a lot, and a good portion of what we've been through has been because we've stayed the course as he has led us. And it doesn't matter whether it's with you, Pat, or Tana, or me, or Michelle, or Judy, Jason, and many others. And so we can't escape that's been a challenge for us, and that glorifies him. I mean, we have sacrificed.
He has our lives.
The entirety of our worldly lives.
Yes, we have.
In order to follow him, and he has asked us to do it, and each one of us has been given a different portion to do, but that's what he's asked, and we've done the best we can. But I, you know, honestly, I've just got so much on my plate. I'm emotionally exhausted, and believe me.
I hear you.
Not to make too much out of it, but I have experienced really a lot, especially in spiritual, emotional. Let's just say he's asked me to walk through very deep valleys of faith and on faith, and I've been blindsided sometimes by certain things, and I've been very powerless to do certain things because of all the other circumstances. He has me very, very tightly knitted into a particular position, and I haven't shared really a whole portion of this, and I have mentioned that, you know, I was sort of wrung out before I even started here in our RCC walk, and so compounding other things in the last 2.5 years over and above what I already had going on, it's really a lot. And I know others of us have really extreme and difficult circumstances too. But so I'm just saying, you know, there's so much to the whole experience on all of our parts that it's not just about the waiting and the watching. It's all the other untold things that we haven't shared in our lives personally and directly that have added to it. And Judy's been pretty open about most stuff. I have been pretty open about certain things, and not about others because it involves other people. It just seems it's been fine. I know he's been happy with how I've handled it. So, you know, it's just one of those things that we're tired.
Yes, we are. We are. I know I'm having moments where I sit and it's like I don't know what to do with myself, and I can't even think straight. And then I think it's something I did wrong, and it's not really anything I did wrong. It's just the life that we're living. It's the stuff going on around us. We're not robots. Everything is affecting us. We see that there's really no hope in this world unless we just go out and preach and bring people to God, and then they look at you like you're nuts anyway because they're all indoctrinated into the stupidity of this mindset world, you know, so it's very hard to do that. But we're prayer warriors. We pray, and God is pleased with that. He's pleased we've given our life to him. He's pleased that we're watching for him. He's pleased that he's the center of our life and that our prayers are very powerful, and he's pleased we're all staying together. That's all very good, but I don't know about you guys. I mean, I shared a lot with you, Jerry, today about emotions and feelings and stuff, and it felt good.
Yeah,
and even the Lord said, did it feel good to tell him that stuff? I said, yes.
Yeah,
it felt very good to tell you all that stuff. It did. It's like I needed to. And see, we have each other to do that. All of us, every one of you guys, is so special and precious in your own unique way, okay? And we can feed each other that to strengthen us. But it's in the Lord. It's always in the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. But I needed to do that.
He knows where I'm at. One of the most profound things about my experiences is that I know his hand has been very carefully on almost every detail. And he has put me in this position, which has so frankly frustrated me. And I know it's him. And so I know he knows. It's like being mean on purpose, except of course he's not mean. But he does have purpose.
Yeah.
And I have some inkling of what that purpose is, but when you're living it in the first person, it's a completely different thing. You know, he's asked me very specifically to do things that involve a lot of sacrifice and a lot of setting aside of personal identity.
Right. Yes.
And
I can identify with that.
And you know what? I'm going to put a song on real quick. I have something I have to do here.
Okay.
But I'll be right back, I think.
Yeah, no problem.
I'll get it here.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya.
Kumbaya. Okay, so that was a minor emergency phone call. I know he knows my experiences and my circumstances because I have watched him like a chess master place all of these pieces around me so that I absolutely cannot move in any direction except, you know, an inch at a time in the direction he allows. And that's, I know it's him. And so it's very frustrating to be bound in like this. But, you know, I have some sense of the purpose in it, but it's gone on for quite a while, and it has, if anything, been a tighter and tighter sort of net-like experience. And I do, as of today, I have some hope of light at the end of the tunnel of some of it. But I can tell you, the tunnel opens into what, for me, is a fairly surreal experience. And it's leading me into a place that the Lord pulled me out of in painstaking fashion years ago.
Yeah.
And the idea that he's taking me in a direction that is the exact opposite of what he asked me to, and didn't ask, I mean, he squoze, pushed, cajoled, beat on my head to go in a particular direction. And now he's in part pushing me apparently back in the other way. And that's, I really don't think I'm going to get there. I really don't think that that's what he's asking me to do. I just, but I don't know what he's going to do other than he's given me hope of getting us out of here. Let me, quickly here go through the title page of the show. I scheduled the show today. I wasn't going to try to do any huge deal. If we are still here, I will try to spend some time on the revelation he gave me about the five and the seven churches, the five Jewish churches and the two Gentile churches in the book of Revelation. And there are other clues. I already know are there. I found them already, but before I even did that show. But, you know, I just, that's not what, I don't think that's the main thing right now. I think it's a proof he's going to use at a different time. He probably has already used it in somebody's hearing, but but it does remind me one thing. I want to say one thing about Israel. I see a lot of commentary out there by people who have a heart for Israel as God has a heart for Israel. But there is a corruption of Judaism which goes to the core. And there is a corruption accordingly in the government of Israel, and it's a spiritual corruption. I'm not talking about the traditional every 5 to 10 years political corruption that comes up there. I'm talking about spiritual corruption in God's eyes and also their leading. And I just want to mention there's a lot of well-meaning people out there who see the current version of Israel as the apple of God's eye. And let me just make clear, and it is clear scripturally, that the current version of Israel is anything but the apple of God's eye. It is, if anything, a more scornful presentation to God than any other portion of the world because of what Israel represents to him. And the corruption in Israel is directly related to the corruption that we see worldwide in religion and governments. There is no separation there. They are one underneath the labels. And so to think that the current human physical Israel that we see as is represented by the population, which by the way is by and large just representing the two tribes, the Levites and Judah, although not exclusively, but largely. By the way, that's the word Jew. Jew comes from Judah, right? The word Jew really doesn't represent the 10 lost tribes, any of them. So anyway, I see a lot of people who are well-meaning that are watching world events and watching things play out and thinking somehow that, oh my gosh, we have to save Israel and we have to influence the government, we have to pray for them and this and that. Yeah, Israel needs to be prayed for. Just make sure you're praying for God's version of Israel and not the Knesset version of Israel and not the Jewish priest version of Israel and as they lead. If you follow some of the things Kleck has been producing lately, you can see that there is an absolute ironclad core relationship between corrupted Judaism, the Vatican, which is by definition corrupt. And, oh, by the way, The Vatican, Roman Catholicism absolutely fits the definition. My daughter noticed this the other day. It absolutely fits the definition of a cult. Look up the cult and definition, because they use extramarital, they pray to outside people. They have their own separate doctrine outside of scripture, et cetera, and they do all these weird chants and things. Anyway, if you know, I'm being very superficial and general there, but you know what I mean. But anyway, the Vatican and Islam, as having been created by the Vatican, all of these things. And did you notice that this British priest went a right and on a drunken, drug-induced, some kind of tirade the other day in Britain? And he threatened the police officer who was trying to restrain him, saying, "I'm going to F you up and you're going down. I'm a priest. I'm from the Vatican. I have diplomatic immunity." So if you don't think there's a certain arrogance there and a certain abuse of privilege, you're sorely mistaken. So on some parts. So anyway, the point is, don't get too hung up about physical Israel. Pray for God's will and peace over Jerusalem, but make it sure that you're realizing that the powers that be in Israel, even Bibi Netanyahu, are part of a deeply, deeply corrupted society and system, every bit, if not more corrupted, than every other portion of world government. So just try to keep that in perspective. Anyway, let me finish here reading the title page of the show today. And being a little funny, can we get a delivery 30 minutes or less? 6-6-2016, occultists love all of these sixes. Be careful what you ask for. Now, that's what I typed in. And obviously having a little bit of fun. And he gave me two verses, and there is a message in these verses. And somehow I ended up with the KJV, which I usually try to avoid, but that happened today. Numbers 4:3. From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host, this is the tabernacle, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. And then, so these are the age of service in the tabernacle. And Joel 2:3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing will escape them. And I just ended it. God is good, and he loves you. That's the title page of our show tonight and the verses that he gave me. And there's definitely, definitely a message in those verses. And I got to catch up here and chat because and she's speaking about the Spanish words in her Tex-Mex experience. She probably doesn't like that term, but anyway. The word come by is believe I may story. This is a faith. Story is to be pidgin English, which is correct, and a transliteration prayerful plea to come by here. That's definitely true. In my humble opinion, we are the bride elect spiritual 144 or Israel. And then Carol was saying regarding my comments on Israel, say it, Jerry. I have been tuning in to Collect's latest video. This is Faye. Truly takes eyes to see and ears to hear. That's absolutely true. Faith is having keyboard trouble. Carol says, and while we're to have a heart for Israel, the physical Israel is mostly atheistic and religious. And Tel Aviv, the seat of Israeli government, is one of the most gay cities and gay-friendly cities in the world. So you can see the deep issues that are on tap. And remember, God says that he gives people over to a spirit of perversion as a punishment. Let me just say hi real quick to Pat again, and then Carol.
Oh dear.
Hi, sorry. Carol. I caught you, Pat. You caught you coughing.
Oh, that's okay. No, I'm, yeah, no, I'm okay. Just wrong pipe or something. Oh, dear. All right, so hang in here. You know, I mean, she was.
Yeah.
Well, we're here for a reason, and he's going to keep us whatever, so.
Right, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, we're here for a reason, so, you know, this is it.
That's it. Well, I think I'm just going to go ahead and send this out here because
okay, sure.
That's really all I had for today.
That's fine.
I'm focused into the eighth and the ninth, and after that, I'm going to make no promises. I do not know. But
nobody does.
Things continue to churn here. That's part of what the phone call I got was during the show.
Oh.
And I don't want to sound happy about it. I'm not. But it is a continuation of things that several of us have had to adapt to. And will be an ongoing issue as long as she leaves us here. Thank you, Lord.
Yep.
To that end, I dedicate this song. Love you all.
Okay, love you too. Bye.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, get down. You know, by the way, Russia flew in there today and bombed the Papo strategic stronghold position that the ISIS terrorists are in.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not a
It's the end of the world as we know it.